Okay, so you ready to get started?
I'm ready to get started.
Well, officially get started?
Officially get started.
All right. So hi everyone, this is Jenny. Welcome to my MLIT podcast. I have a very special guest today, Maurice. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Straight from the Netherlands.
Yes. Yeah. Which is on, as we were saying previously, privately, it's on my list of places to visit.
Yeah.
It's right up there with Ireland. Like, I need to go to Ireland, both ASAP.
Yeah.
Now the world is kind of okay.
Kind of open. Hopefully it will stay this way, right?
Yeah.
That you're going to be able to travel everywhere again.
Right.
It will be so nice. The world can get closer to each other again.
Right? Yeah. So. And remember that we're not as different as we like to think.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's true. So, thank you for letting me come here. And
no, it's my pleasure. I'm so glad that you're in Miami and that you're here with us. Yeah. And I can't wait to listen to all the amazing things that you are up to with your company.
Yeah.
So let's start there. Tell me about your company.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, company, like it's nowadays it's a plural, right? So companies, right?
That's right.
A lot going on.
You have a lot going on. You're very busy.
Yeah, very, very busy. Sometimes I get oh. But yeah, you know, I got a good team, and that's really, really helpful. So we got quite a big team. We're now 50 plus people.
Wow.
We're growing very fast. We're going to an even bigger office. So around 100, 200 capacity the next year. So and we're internationally, by the way, so we have multiple offices in the world. We build software, of course, so that's the main business.
Right.
Crable's international, and we're basically the philosophy of our business is becoming like the remote tech department of your business. So we help startups, entrepreneurs, but also enterprises on the tech side. And that's and we're doing that in both the Web 2 and the Web 3 world, right? So the NFTs, the metaverse, and so everyone comes up with all their questions, like I want to have smart contracts, I want to have NFTs, and we just say like, okay, well, we're gonna help you out with that and build it.
Mm-hmm.
But what comes out of that is that also parties and entrepreneurs, they come to us and they have a great idea, and they also ask us if we want to participate in the business itself, because you always need tech, so right. It's a great idea that they're saying like, okay, why don't we just give them like a piece of the equity, to create more commitment. So we're doing that with multiple things. So that's why we have multiple startups going on, right? In the play to earn, in the NFTs, in the mentorships.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's start at the beginning, because I have so many questions for you.
Yeah.
What made you decide to go this route with your business?
Yeah, you mean in Web3 or software? Or?
Yes. Let's do both.
Yeah.
The technology route.
Yeah, technology route. That's a funny story, because my original background comes from marketing. So I was a growth hacker, and I did a lot with influencer marketing, SEO marketing. And then I helped a lot of businesses as well. So I had my own businesses. And I always had trouble on the technical side, it was hard to work with developers, find the right developers, to understand it. So as an entrepreneur, you have so much problems finding the right party. And I always had that, right? So with websites, with apps, everything I did, I always had that problem. And then there was a moment, I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. Because I'm probably not the only one who has this problem, right?
Yeah.
So, and how hard can it be to start a software company? Well, I underestimated that big time, because it's really, really hard. It's really complicated. But so far, so good. So it's going pretty, pretty well. And we're growing insanely fast, because we have a really different approach, really helping them and guiding them, and the remote tech department of their business. Instead of just, here's your product, or hey, here's your platform, or your app,
and figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out. So
yeah,
that works out very well. So that's how I rolled into software without having any technical knowledge. So I had to read a lot of books about it, a lot. I went home every day after 12 or 14 hours of work with headache every day, because, it was so much of new information, right?
The different texts. It's information that's constantly evolving. And so you have to keep up. Yeah. Not only do you have to learn, but then you have to keep up with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that goes so fast.
That's so impressive.
You know, with so many different technologies, you know, if you think about like, you know, building a website.
Right? Yeah.
How many different ways you can do it? Squarespace, you have Wix, you have WordPress, you have custom websites. You have so many different technologies. And, you know, now maybe Wix is trending and then next week a different technology. Mm-hmm. So you have to really find those things. You have to stay on top of your game.
Yeah.
And, you know, and even in Web3, that's going even faster, right? So,
yes. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's so fast.
Yeah.
But before we jump into Web3, because I was feeling we're going to stay there for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so, too.
Did you have, like, a passion for technology?
No. Actually, I always hated it. You know, when it was not working, you know, like, why is my phone not working? Why is my website not working? I didn't understand anything of it. The only thing I was like, okay, it's super, super scalable. That's what I was, you know, I thought like, okay, I started an app. I built an app like 6 years ago for online coaching. And I was like, okay, how can I help more people around the world? Okay, I got to build like something software because that's super scalable.
Yeah.
You know, because if you have 10 people or if you have thousands or millions of people, it doesn't really matter, because as long as the infrastructure is good, mm-hmm. then you can just scale it up and everyone can use the same piece of code basically, instead of like having everything, you know, with products, you know, like it's much harder to scale. So that's what I like about technology, that you can help so many more people around the world, right? So yeah.
It makes such a difference.
You really make a difference. Yeah.
And you can see it immediately.
Yeah, you can see it immediately. Yeah. And and then also business wise, it's, you know, like if you look at like the most people that, you know, become very wealthy and very affluent, it's like most people are in software. Mm-hmm. That's because like software businesses get valued at future projections, right? So it's not about like what you make this year, but it's about what is the future, what's the valuation in the future. So for example, LinkedIn was, I think, sold in 2015 or 16 or something, and it was basically worth 100 million. It was sold for 15.6 billion, you know.
It's like,
because the potential is so big, so it's insane. Like 100x to the 1000x. Yeah.
Yeah,
cryptocurrency basically is the same, right? Crypto and
exactly.
NFTs. Yeah. So no passion, you know. I like to solve problems. That's my mm-hmm. passion, you know, solving problems.
There's no better passion than that one.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, everything's a problem and
exactly.
it's solvable, yeah. hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, and the bigger they become, like, the more I like it, to be honest. So
so you like the challenge component.
I really like the challenge. And, yeah. and software is really, really difficult and it's really complex. And especially software, you know, combinations and also making, mm-hmm. You know, I always say, like, you can write a wonderful piece of code, but, you know, that's not a wonderful solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to create a wonderful solution that fits the needs of the people that are eventually going to use it, so the consumers, and that's super hard, because then you need more than just only a wonderful piece of code. You also mm-hmm. needs to be the user experience needs to be good, the user interface needs to be good, the colors, the gradients, everything needs to be good, and a single small mistake in your login or whatever, you've probably mm-hmm. had it yourself, you know, you were using an app and there was something very annoying. You basically delete the app.
You're right? Done. Yeah, you're done.
And then you're spending millions on an app, and that can kill you. And that's crazy. And that's what I like, you know, about apps and software, that it's so complex and that it's a very big challenge, right. You know, to make it a success. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Did you the remote component of your service, was that in existence prior to the pandemic?
Yeah, well, we changed our vision a little bit, but we were always like, we were always working remote already before the
so you guys had like you were able to foresee how important that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know here in our little world, pre-pandemic, there was a lot of resistance to doing things remotely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you wanted the person here.
Yeah.
You wanted them to come and fix it here in front of you, next to you.
And the physical meetings.
Yes. And the, right? And if one good thing happened was we were able to see that that's not really necessary. No,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Most of the things you can do remote, and that's the beauty. And I actually have the same thing, you know, was always like, time wise, you know, you couldn't do a lot if you had to do all those physical meetings. Right. And eventually you have the Zoom, and people start to realize, like, hey, this is very convenient.
And efficient. Because now I don't have to, you know, factor in driving time and
all
these other things.
All these other things, you know, they will just, you know, fall away. And you can just focus on, you know, having back to back meetings in the Zoom or whatever you use. And that's beautiful. But we had, like, once, you know, when they announced the pandemic, within like 2 to 3 days, it only took us like 2 to 3 days to become like fully remote. Yeah,
that's incredible. It was
super fast with a team of 30 around that time. It was super fast because it's like Charles Darwin said, you know, it's not survival of the fittest, but survival of the most adaptable. So we're always very adaptable. So we were very fast in making that transition. Because we always had the philosophy of working remote.
It was already built into who you were as a company.
And different.
I love that.
And different because, you know, for example, over here, I just work as well. You know, like it's the only difference is the time zone. You know, time wise, it's a little difficult, you know. But for the rest, everything is the same. I can work from here or I can work from Australia, I can work from anywhere in the world. I just only need my laptop and my phone, and that's beautiful, right? That's amazing.
Yes, it is. Can you imagine not having, well, not imagine because you're doing it, but the potential of not being tied down to a desk and a place and, you know, a 9-to-5? Your potential increases so much more on the things that you can accomplish.
Yeah,
I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. I think especially if people start to realize how much fun it is, right? So because I really enjoy every day. You probably have the same thing. I enjoy every single day of just working. You know, if you believe that back in the days that you had to go to work, but it was no fun. And nowadays, like you can work from everywhere. You work very long days, but it's so much fun. It's so much fun to do, right? It's amazing, right? Who would have thought that? And back in the days, you had those. You know, you were rich if you had like a beautiful office and
everything. Oh my goodness, you're right.
And nowadays it's like someone
from your success was measured by the view of your office. Yeah, remember that?
Yeah. That's it, right? And that's like.
And now your office is anywhere.
Yeah. Now it's now your success is, you know, based on like how free you are, basically, right? You know, so like where you can work and you're not restricted to anything.
Right.
And that's I think that's beautiful. I like that success. So it's pretty cool. And it's a lot of fun. Every day is a lot of fun, and every day is different, especially in software world.
I can't imagine how exciting it must be for you guys to see everything constantly changing.
Never a boring moment, that's for sure.
So you said your team is over 30, right?
Now it's over 50.
Over 50, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Sorry, I apologize. Over 50.
Yeah.
How did it feel to have all these people count on you through the pandemic as you being the head of this operation?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. I was also really it's pretty scary as well.
Yeah, because you know they're counting on you.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. You know, I mean, think about like we have a team in the Netherlands. We also have a big office in India. You know, you know, and there's really even more different, right? Because you can't pay it. Like they have nothing to fall back, and it's like they basically have nothing. So it makes it. Yeah, it was sometimes it was a little scary, you know. But also on the other side, it was like, okay, you have really no plan B. You know, the only thing that I could do is I had to make it work. I had to make it happen.
Yeah.
You know? So it was also a very good motivation, like, okay, I can't go back. I can't let people down. I would never let people down. So the only thing I could do is like give like even 400%, 500%. It was just absolutely crazy. Right. Pretty scary as well. But we made it. So it was good. And we're growing even like during that time. Right. So it was great. Yeah.
That's such a blessing.
Yeah.
I love that part of the story.
Yeah.
Because it was such a dark time. I mean, it still is in so many parts of the world. But to see to hear from people that made it through and were able to make things even better.
Yeah.
I think those are the things we need to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty crazy time, you know? Like, it was also really weird, you know? Like, to not see any people. Mm-hmm. And, I couldn't go there as well. So, I couldn't even go to my office in India or in the other country. And connect with them. Or I couldn't come here, you know? So, the last time was, like, 2.5 years ago because of COVID. You know, I was the last time I was there was in January, right before it closed. Like January 15th.
Yeah.
And then 31, March 31 or something. It was closed in the US.
It was done.
Yeah. So that was but yeah, we made it out, and hopefully it's gonna continue like this. That it's gonna be, you know, stabilizing again. And
You mentioned not having a plan B. Is that a philosophy that you follow for your business?
I think. Back in the days, I thought, like, you might know the saying, like, burn your ships, you know, like...
So you have nowhere to go.
Yeah, you have nowhere to go. I always thought, like, it was good to have a plan B,
mm-hmm.
you know. Back in the days, I always thought it was good to have a plan B. So I was always thinking of, like, okay, what's my plan B? If this doesn't work out, like, entrepreneurship, I can fall back on this or that.
Right.
But once I did not have that plan B anymore... Yeah, then it's killed like 10x, you know, like, so I think not having a plan B is very good, you know, because you have nowhere to go. So you're going to put more focus and you're going to not go into that comfort zone, right? Because you have to. And the comfort zone is what kills people, their productivity and kills people's vision, because they can fall back, you know, like, and that's it. So, yeah, I think having a plan B is, you shouldn't just go all out, you know, like, just go all out. Yeah.
I agree with that wholeheartedly, because I'm a planner. So I'm the kind of person that I like to know what's happening, when, if this doesn't happen, then this is going to happen type of, you know, that's my personality. I agree. If you're going to dive into business, don't have a plan B.
Don't have a plan B, right? Just go.
Just go. Go and...
Yeah.
See what happens. Whatever happens, you'll be okay.
At least be okay. Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, that's what amazed me as well. You know, like, you know, at a certain moment, you had so much overhead. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm still quite a young guy. I'm just only 25 years old.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was like, I was 23 when the pandemic started, and I was 20 years old when I flew to India or something like that to start the business.
You know? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Thanks.
I wish I had this level of wisdom when I was 25. My goodness. That's incredible.
Yeah. Just try to make the best out of life, you know? So that's the idea. So yeah, I flew there, and that's how it basically started. But, it's a crazy way of living, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I like it. Yeah.
You're obviously doing amazing things, so you gotta keep going.
Yeah, thanks.
You're ready to dive into Web3?
Yeah, let's go. Let's make it happen. Yeah.
So, Web3, tell us everything, because a lot of people need to know.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people underestimate what they can do with Web3, right? And what it is, like, most people, I think most people even don't know what Web2 is.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, Web1, Web2, Web3 now, you know, like where you had, Web1 was the start of the internet, right? Where everyone just plugged. And then,
Was it DOS?
It was like internet without, like, it was just a shared space, right? So it was like a place where you had to plug into the internet. You came there, you just found some information, but, you know, it was not centralized, basically. It was just a place where just people came and they found something, you know. And like Web2 was more like, you know, the social factor, right? So Facebook and Twitter and centralized platforms.
MySpace for us older
MySpace,
folks.
Right? MySpace, yeah.
I remember, like, having to plug in your...
I was still wearing diapers back then, you know?
So, so we had to plug in, like, our computer to that little, I don't even remember what it was called, like that little internet thing, and it made the noise, the little beep sound.
Yeah, and that was web. It was the start of Web 2, right? And that's really centralized, right? And then Web 3 is really decentralizing because the platforms are getting too much power. You know, they even have more power than governments. You know,
like, as we've seen recently,
as you've seen, right?
It's undeniable now. Because for a while it was kind of like a myth.
Yeah.
You know, people would say, and it was like, no, you're exaggerating. We've seen it.
Now we've seen like how crazy it is. Yeah. And people even still don't know how much power they even have more. You know, if you think about like, especially Google is just like, Google is the platform.
Right.
But also like, you know, the information that you consume, everything, and what's a fact, what's not a fact. Like it's getting out of control. So, and that's why Web3 is such a beautiful solution. Because Web3 is basically decentralizing all that is currently on the internet and giving the power back to the people.
Right.
And that's beautiful.
Yes, this music to my ears.
Yeah,
I have absolutely no complaints.
Yeah, and especially because if you think about it, like most of the time that humans exist, like 200,000 years, we were decentralized until like a couple of thousand years ago, we became like centralized, you know, with governments and everything.
Right.
Before that, we were always decentralized. So it's also more human nature to be decentralized and having that power and having that community and building our own communities and doing those things, right? So yeah, that's really beautiful. And also all the potential that Web3 has, and now it's getting a bad name, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing that happened to Bitcoin back in the days, also had like a bad name, happens to Web3 right now as well. And I think, the trend that you see right now, or it's not a trend this moment because it's a bear market right now, but like, let's say 6 months ago, the NFTs, they give a much better adoption to the Web3 and the cryptocurrency and the utilities and all the possibilities that you can do, right? Because the possibilities and the way you can, you know, apply those Web3 facets to businesses that currently exist or to art or whatever, right? It's beautiful. Right. It's absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
And how are you guys helping through your services?
Yeah.
Companies on board Web3?
Yeah. Yeah. So what we do is the Romo tech department of your business is we started like, I think it's now 5 months ago or 6 months ago, we started helping Web2 businesses or entrepreneurs that want to start in the Web3 space, we start to help them to go from Web2, so normal platforms, to the Web3, you know, and what kind of solutions are best for them, how do they do it, what is it, there comes a lot of explanation right? And also a lot of things that they have to, you know, look at and keep in mind to not make big mistakes, right? Because their name is on the line, and especially you know, the Web3 space is completely different. And that's what most businesses forget. Even the big businesses with huge budgets, you can't just easily go from Web2 to Web3 because you're putting your name on the line, and the marketing and also the way you work is 180 degrees different than the normal traditional way. If you make a mistake in the Web2 world, let's just move it that way, and there's a bug on the website, you can just easily, you just redeploy it, and you fixed it. But if you deploy a smart contract, you're gonna pay. First of all, people can see that you made those mistakes because it's on the blockchain. As you see, you're constantly deploying it. It's very transparent. Every time you have to pay like a couple of $100, and even if it's bigger smart contract, you have to even pay more. Like, so the mistakes are very expensive, and sometimes you even say bigger mistakes. Once there was only like one small function, one rule of code that was written, you know, in the wrong way, and they couldn't get the money out of that smart contract. I think it was 36 million. Yeah, and that's still in a smart contract forever.
Whoa.
So it's a pretty costly mistake if you make that. You know,
that's right? Yeah, that's a very expensive mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we help those. We help organizations and entrepreneurs.
Right.
By like how do they, you know, have high quality output on in the Web3, and what are the best ways to do that? Yeah.
Right. Would you advise every company to explore Web3, to make that transition into Web3?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the possibilities are endless, and every day I hear new ways of how people, you know, want to apply it. And I think that's actually a great idea. I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. And I think it's very good for organizations to see it and start understanding and start realizing how big it is, you know, and especially because, and this is what I always say, I always ask myself so many questions. That's just my thing, you know. Like, I always want to have an answer to everything. You know, it has to make sense.
Same.
Yeah, and it, right? And I never could, I couldn't understand why, you know, 20 years ago, so many organizations, like a Kodak or whatever, they missed the internet trend.
Oh, yeah.
I could not understand it. I was always like, it's so common sense. Mm-hmm. Right? You think it's so common sense, right?
Yeah.
But now you start to understand that it's not that simple to understand, we thought, but like, I mean, look at Web3 right now. Yeah. Like how long is it there?
It's true.
It's already a trend for like maybe a year or something, or like at least half a year. Like, yeah, June last year it started to explode. But imagine, it's the same possibility, maybe even bigger. You know, the Web3 will maybe even bigger than the internet, and still yeah. those organizations and enterprises are sleeping, yeah. right? That's crazy, right?
What do you think is the biggest issue with people understanding?
It's that they don't. I think the problem is not that they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. I think they're not looking for enough information. You know, that they are actually, you know, understanding what it is and what the possibilities are, right? Mm-hmm. So most people, if you talk about NFTs or Web3,
yeah.
especially Web3, they don't have no idea. But let's say NFTs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that everyone's like, oh, monkey a image. Little comfortable.
Monkey yeah. image. Oh, those monkey images, right?
It's a JPEG.
Yeah, it's right? a JPEG monkey image, right? Yeah, I can just yeah. make a screenshot of it, right?
Right, and now and I have your monkey.
Yeah, and I'm going to sell it for $300,000, right?
Right.
So that's the idea, but they don't look any further. They're not like, okay, let me just see, what are NFTs? What is this? What are that? What are the utilities? How can I work with this? What is behind this? Right? They don't. And then I don't understand why, but yeah, they might not, you know, just.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, but they're missing out because of that. And
right.
I think that's a problem, you know, like for them and for their businesses as well, because right. it's the same. You know, you're missing very important changes in the world.
For sure.
And we've seen that, how important it is, especially if you look at, for example, offline and online businesses. All the organizations, all the businesses that were like, oh yeah, we're not going to focus on online.
See Who's what happened with buy the pandemic. Something online?
See what happened with the pandemic.
And here we're all tied to Amazon because we can't,
yeah,
we
it's can't crazy.
Step
yeah.
away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's if you miss that, you miss so much opportunities and so much possibilities for your business. So, yeah, having that true, you know, understanding, and I can also understand it from their point of view, because it's very hard to find the right information. Mm-hmm. I mean, where are you going to want to look?
Mm-hmm.
Because Google gives you the answer what you're looking for. It's not giving you the right answer. It gives you what you're looking for, right? So if you're gonna, yeah, if you're asking like vegetables are unhealthy, it's gonna give you an answer like vegetables are unhealthy. But if you say like right. vegetables are healthy, it's gonna give you that answer, right? So, but
that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So it's not gonna give you what you need to know, right? So it's only gonna give you what you ask for.
What you want to hear.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What you want to hear, or what right. you believe in. So it's gonna corroborate what you believe in, right? So your beliefs.
That's very dangerous.
That's very dangerous.
Very that's a big problem.
Yeah. So that's the same thing. You know, NFTs are JPEGs. You know, you're gonna probably get like a forum that someone tells like, yeah, it's just nothing and this and that.
Right.
But if you search for the right terminology, right, then you can find the information. It's hard to find that, You have to be a professional Google search to find the right information. So that's what we help businesses with, you know, to understand that and also give them simple explanations about the difference, about what the possibilities could be for their businesses. You know, so that's a lot of fun.
Do you think, for example, business owners have a hard time figuring out how to be innovative in this space? Because when we say, you know, the sky's the limit, you really have no limitations here. We have noticed that people have a hard time coming to terms with that. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, I think most businesses, you know, are really also not really busy with innovation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're really sleeping. And but it's also like, if you look at like human nature, I've read a book about it. I don't know, I can't remember clearly what it was. But they also wrote like that you had less chance of survival if you're innovating every day. So innovation is because like, you know, if you're doing the same thing all over again, you know, back in the days, you know, you would do the same thing all over again, right? Then, eat the same food, doing this, doing that. Yeah, it was always the same thing. But if you were innovative and like, hey, let me just try to eat some different berries today, right?
Done.
And you're dead, right?
Yeah.
So that's why humans are not really inclined.
We find our comfort zone and we stay there.
Exactly, because it gives us more chance to survive.
And we know what works. So now we stick to what works. Exactly. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, so that's the reason. So like, if you want to change that because it's needed, that's why, you know, but most people by human nature are not like, okay, let's just innovate. And even like the business, the entrepreneurs, because they're like, yeah, why would you, right? If you have something that works and you're top tier, like, why would you? Why would you take the shot? Why would you try to do it?
Right.
Or, they feel like they're following a trend. It's just trend. You know, we've seen that. And, you know, that's how they feel about it. And especially if they're a little older, you know, it's even more hard to understand, you know, because if I look at my parents, you know, if I need to explain them how a MetaMask works or how they have to buy an NFT. I know I'm going to be busy for like 40 hours or something to explain that, right? So
yeah, it's tough to wrap your mind around paying for something that you're not going to hold in your hands.
Yeah, yeah. And that, because
so
it's also...
I get it.
And for, you know, the younger generation, so even younger than me, it's so much, it's even more normal.
They do it all the time.
It's the most normal thing ever. Yeah. Because in their games, they're already doing that.
Yeah.
Because if you play Fortnite, they have those skins already.
Right.
They have already that they spend thousands of euros on those skins or dollars. Right. You know, so they are used to it. So for them to, you know, do it in 5 to 10 years from now, it's normal. So
And those are the people in business that people are going to be competing with.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you got to catch up.
Yeah.
Because these are the guys that are gonna be,
and you're gonna lose. Yeah, you're gonna lose if you're like not gonna be like, because they're gonna grow so much faster. You can be in business for like 30, 40, 50 years, but they're gonna grow so insanely fast, and that's what you see right now, especially in Web3.
Yeah.
There are certain entrepreneurs that have new solutions, and they grow insanely fast, $1 billion valuations within like half a year or
that's
years.
Like,
it's crazy, you know.
That's
it went fast in the Web2, you know.
Yeah.
Like if you think about like Facebook and Twitter, but even Web3, it's gonna go even faster, you know. Valuations of unicorn valuations within half, you know, 6 months or 12 months or whatever.
Right.
It's gonna go, it's gonna be
that's
so
exciting.
It's really exciting, yeah.
It's so exciting, Because to think that, you know, if you have an idea, a business, a passion, and you can actually watch it grow that fast, or at least for it to have the opportunity to grow that fast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, and that's why I love software so much, you know, because it has a lot of upsides, you know, if you do well, and especially if you want to eventually sell a business or do something, it's great.
Right.
It's really, really good. So yeah, it's fantastic. And it's, sometimes you get a little headache. to be honest, you know, because it shifts so fast and, you know, every day is different and it goes 10 times faster than the traditional world, right? So 1 week in the NFT or Web3 space is like 3 months in a normal world, right? So it's crazy. And that's
the perception of time, it really shifts.
Yeah, you really see that the perception of time is really different because it's a different world. It goes 10 times faster.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So we see a lot of people entering the Web3 space through the arts, right? So we have a lot of artists now displaying their art as an NFT, as you mentioned previously, even some musicians. How can other businesses that is not your traditional artist, like, for example, here we talk to a lot of authors. Mm-hmm. How can they make their mark in this space?
Well, you know, like if you think about, for example, copyrights, you know, copyrights, trademarks and everything, and, you know, music or, you know, becoming an author, you know, how cool would it be if someone writes a book and he wants to have funding for it and he makes his book like a business. So like, hey, I got this amazing book. Like you could like think about, for example, Think and Grow Rich. You know, everyone in business knows that book.
Yeah.
How cool would it be is like if the book would be a business. Napoleon Hill wrote that book, and you were able to like buy an NFT that would be like 1% or like 0.1%, whatever, of the actual business in terms of like the royalties that you would get from that. And he would be able to get funding for the book to, you know, publish it and whatever he needs. He don't need anything else. And in that way, you become like part of like the owner of the book, right? Right. Yeah, I would totally buy it. I'm a big fan of books, you know.
For that to happen, do you need to already have a community behind you? Or can you just jump into the space?
Well, you know, like now it's kind of hard, you know, like it's, you know, like 6 months ago you could do that, you know, like everyone would just buy everything in the market. But, you know, the consumers are a little different. They're more picky now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can just directly jump into it. There's a lot that comes, you know, along with it, especially on the marketing side of things. Like I said, you know, it changes a lot, but also it's 180 degrees different than the traditional way. So you really have to have people that can help you out on that, you know, they can at least consult you or mentor you on how to get it out, how to market it, and then find maybe there's already a platform for it, you know, like for example you have OpenSea. If you want to just publish your art, you can do that over there, right? Upload it and boom, you got it online. Same thing would probably happen for music and for books, maybe. Like, you know, the idea I just gave, you know, like,
yeah,
and that's the beauty of it. There are so many different possibilities and ways of how to make utilities for, you know, a book, you know, publishing a book in a different way, or, you know, doing crowdfunding. So one of the businesses that we have is Mentor Calls. Mentor Calls is one of the startups we're focusing on heavily right now. And it's an app that gives you the ability to have one-on-one video calls with mentors all over the world in different sectors, Web3, Web2, real estate, lawyers, you name it.
That's so cool.
And with Mentor Calls, we're trying to, you know, become like the number one educational platform to really change, you know, the way people learn and do, you know, things, you know, because if I think about, like, I got kicked out from school like two times, you know.
You
I was
did?
A little rebel guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What, like, what grade were you in when you got kicked out of school?
I don't know, like, how it's like in terms of like English, because it's different, but I was 16 years old or something. Like 16
so
or 17
here
years
you
old.
Would have been like in 10th grade or 11th grade,
one of the two. Yeah, so like that's I got kicked from school, and then the next one, I was a little rebel guy, you know.
I can only imagine what you did.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know this, but I was a teacher.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I was an English teacher for high school.
Okay, yeah. I'm like the bad kid, you know, like the annoying kid that was always late. And
you were probably the leader that didn't know how to hone in his skills.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's in what I had, and that's what I always had, you know. If I came to school, like, I always wanted to know why I had to do something. And most teachers couldn't explain to me why I had to learn certain things. English, I can totally understand why I had to learn English, right? That's why, you know, with English, you know, I was pretty good at it. So, but with most things, I was like, why do I have to learn this? You couldn't give me the answer. But if I would have like mentor calls that we have right now, and we also want to do that on, I think if I would have one like 30-minute, you know, mentorship lecture or 60 minutes from a guy like me, and I would see him and I would see him talk and I would see like, whoa, I want to have this.
And you can ask him questions and he'll answer your specific. Exactly. I love that.
I would finish my school. Yeah. I might do two studies at the same time because I would be super, like, it would ignite that fire. And that's what I believe is missing. And that's what we want to like fill with mentor calls. Like, it's called mentor calls and it's online in the App Store. People can find it and they can book mentorships with, for example, me or with other people. And we started working on that like 14 months ago. And then I think it was 4 months ago. Mm-hmm. We wanted to raise more capital because we did like the first round ourselves.
Oh, wow.
And like that half a million or something. Stressful. Yeah. It was pretty stressful. And then eventually we wanted to raise capital with VCs, but you know, all the hassle and the traditional way to go. And then I had the idea. So I told my partner, like, why don't we do it with NFTs?
Yes.
Right. And then 4 months ago, we started, like, yeah, that's actually a great idea. So now we're going to launch a collection of 10,000 NFTs.
Okay.
Or we're already in the process of doing that. And all the NFT holders become active holders of the community. But we are basically making a bridge between Web 2 and Web 3 in this way, because we have a traditional business with NFTs. And the NFTs are also going to get like royalty tokens that have a certain value. That comes from the actual business. So,
and this is connected to mentor calls.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So you got the NFTs. They're like, you know, the NFTs, and eventually people can stake them, and they're going to get royalty tokens that come from the actual business that produces revenue as well. So that's like how we want to like make a real true like bridge between like Web 2 and Web 3.
Yes.
And also a unique way of, you know, raising capital, mm-hmm. crowdfunding via NFTs. And that's also one of the possibilities that you can do.
Yes.
And then
you just answered my previous question. Yeah. How does a business that's not like traditional art enter the space? And you did that so seamlessly.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. So that's how we are innovating on trying to disrupt every market.
And I love that. Yeah. One of the anchor priorities in your business is education.
Yeah.
I love that. And I love that it's education in someone's hands. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's no middle ground. They have access to who they want to talk to.
Exactly. Just with a click of the button, you know, that's like it's...
Yes. We definitely need that.
Yeah, I'll show you, you know, after the podcast.
Yes. Show it to you. Oh, I would love that. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I'm
excited for you.
Yeah, thanks. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's growing pretty successful. It's pretty successful. We're now basically doing doing beta in the Netherlands, in the Dutch market. It's completely in English, by the way, but we're just doing the pilot because it's a small country, and the Dutch market is very, very difficult. You know, in terms of like consumers are very difficult compared to, you know, US people, they just buy things.
We have a consumerism problem.
Yeah, and Dutch people are super conservative, you know, like it's very hard to sell something to a Dutch guy.
Yeah.
You know, so they like everything for free, and they like everything at a discount. And
you guys have a lot in common with us Cubans. We're stingy.
Yeah. Very, very stingy, you know, like, split it the Dutch way is also saying, right?
So yes.
Split it Dutch. Right. And that's because like, if you go to a restaurant and even if it's like €5, they'll send you like, you're going to pay $2.50 and I'm going to pay
$2.50. That's how it goes. It's a fair way to be. Everybody's happy.
It is super fair. Yeah. It is always super fair, you know, like it's true, but people in, you know, like in different countries, they don't understand like the stinginess.
No, I appreciate
the
Dutch
way, you know. But it's always honest, you know. You always have like, okay, we both pay the same thing. It's not like, oh, we're gonna go to this restaurant and now it's like $80, and then we'll go to another restaurant next week and it's $400, and then basically
you're stuck with the bill.
You're stuck with the bill, right? So.
Or if you go out with a group of people that are very, you know, they'll order five drinks and here you ordered one and now
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what? I barely drank and I have this bill. I appreciate that.
Yeah, so that's really the Dutch way. So, but it's a very hard market in terms of consumers. So we just achieved a proof of concept.
Okay.
You know, and now we have all the data points that we're measuring. So we're analyzing the data, and then once all the data is like completely good, that it's gonna be like it has a good foundation to go viral. Because that's very important, you know, like we've seen in Clubhouse, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, and this happened and it was insanely big. That was because they measured those data points very well. And then they were like, okay, now it's good. Now we can really dominate and disrupt the complete space. We're doing exactly the same thing. So now we're starting to, you know, getting some traction in the US and Australia and all the other countries. And then once everything is good, boom, we're going to scale it up. Like,
do you have a projected release date?
It's already live. It's already live. Okay. Yeah, it's like completely live in the App Store and stuff. It's only like we're not marketing it.
You know, I see. I get it.
Putting it out in the market, so, like actively looking for mentors and everything. But you could download it right now. See me, and once I'm like available, you could basically book it already with me. Yeah, it's working super well already, and we're now just refining all the points.
Yeah.
To get it even better.
Is there like an age limit, like do you have to be a certain age to
I think it's like 13 plus, yeah, because it's like coaching and mentorship, so there's not like age restrictions on it, so that's actually pretty good, because the younger you can start and become like the person you can become, you know, it's amazing, you know, like I'm still young and I started young, but if I could even start even younger, if I would have been inspired, like that would be really good, you know?
For sure. And for the other side, so for the mentors, how do you navigate that? Like finding the right person, putting them together?
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a great question. So you got two different mentors. You got mentors that already have like people that are looking for them. They're just waiting for someone to be, you know, the platform, have that bridge. For example, you think about someone like a Gary Vee, you know, lots of people are waiting for him, but he doesn't have a solution like we have with the app that automatically does everything for you, right? So if he would know about the app and it would be like, oh, this is fantastic. The only thing he would have to do is he would have to go live, like, okay, I'm going to be live, and then we'll put it on his Instagram, and he would it's completely full, right, of bookings.
So maybe he needs to be aware of this.
Yeah, he needs to be. He needs to be. Yeah, I'm spamming him with mails.
We need to make this happen.
Yeah, that would be great. Anyone who could do that, you know, like that would be. Yeah, that would change the game, you know, and I believe like he has a very good name in the space as well, in both Web 2 as Web 3. And I think if he knows about the concept, he will definitely love it, because it's gonna disrupt education. It's gonna help people become more educated about so many different things. So yeah, and that's beautiful. So we'll see. We're gonna make it happen. For now, like, it's just focusing on getting it refined and getting all the bugs out, and just having like super seamless. But all the people that are going in, like, especially we're gonna have big volumes, that it's gonna feel super seamless, and that's what we're doing right now. That's
super exciting. Yeah. I cannot wait, because education definitely needs a little bit of a shake up.
You know.
I don't know how it is in the Netherlands, but it feels like here our education system has a lot of help.
Yeah, it's the same in the Netherlands. It's pretty. You know, it didn't improve. You know, it feels like it hasn't improved. And you can learn more from books and just a simple course on Udemy than you would do on school and universities or whatever, right? So that's a big problem.
It's unfortunate, because we have all these kids walking over with degrees and debt and not really feeling like they have all the tools that they need to go and do whatever it is that they
want
to do.
That's it, right? And that's it. And that's super bad, you know, like, it's really bad. And especially you're going to school for years and years, and then you find out that, especially then you have your degree, and then you find out that you still need to have like 5 working years of experience, because they're still not hiring, which is also totally understandable from, you know, the employer's perspective, because without any practical knowledge, you're not going to be able to do anything. You know, theory is completely different than practice. If you look at like driving a car, you can't just learn that by reading about it. You have to do it, right? And it's the same thing in the real world. So if you need to have both the working experience, so it needs to be combinations. In school, they also need to give combinations of that. Right. Directly start working, directly start, you know, exploring the world and learning about it.
And give people tools they can actually use.
Yeah.
You know, they can put to use in their everyday professional lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
What advice would you have for someone that's thinking about becoming an entrepreneur?
Start with mentor calls, of course. Yeah, have a call with me.
I'd say that's a good start.
Yeah, that's I think if you want to become an entrepreneur, you have to understand that, you know, like you need to have a very strong reason why, you know, not just, you know, that you can put it in your Instagram bio, you know, like, because that's what most people do, or becoming financially free or becoming rich or whatever. It's like, it's not going to help you out, or it's not going to give you enough fire to really do what you have to do in order to make it a success, because it's going to be super hard. It's really going to be super hard, because being an entrepreneur is super hard.
Did you ever have a moment or an instance when you thought about, hey, I want to walk away, or I can't do this?
Absolutely. Many times.
Really?
Many times. It feels like, you know, everything goes wrong at the same time.
Yes.
You know, and that's, that happened many times in my life, you know, that, but it was just a test, and it felt like a test, you know, like I was feeling like, are you testing me right now? Are you seeing like if you can break me, you know? So,
and what kept you going?
What kept me going? It's actually a great question. I just don't feel like I can't.
You don't have a plan B?
And I don't have a plan B, you know, like I was like, okay, you want, like, for example, if it would be so strong that I would want to give up, you know, let's say, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to have insane debts, and I'm going to have insane problems with all the things and customers and all the things that if I would say like I couldn't stop, like I couldn't stop. Basically, I couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Because I was not like one guy who was doing the business. No, I had so many people to take care of, so many clients to take care of. I couldn't stop. Just, I would have extreme problems. So there was, like you said, there was no plan B. There was no plan B. Right. So, and that was good. And that's what most entrepreneurs have, especially in, like, for example, those e-commerce situations. It's not like they're not really, you know, entrepreneurs, because they're doing everything on their own, and they can stop whenever they want to. They can just stop. They have an easy plan B. It's not really being an entrepreneur, because that's different, you know, building people, you know, building a team, having lots of customers, you know, like so many things that you have to take into account.
How do you help your team or the people that come work with the company share your vision? How do you build like a company culture?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's absolutely a great question. It's quite difficult, especially is because we have lots of different cultures.
Right, and a lot of your people are remote. Yeah. It's not like you guys can all come together and have a cup of coffee in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's you know, my friend also always, you know, asked me that, like, I really don't understand how you do that. I say, I actually also don't, you know, like, but it was by nature, I was like this, you know, according to my dad, he says, you were always like this, you know, always like a leadership kind of person. I was always a people person. I was always a motivator, you know, like a motivator. It felt like, you know, you're going to get like energy.
That's why you got kicked out of school. Because the teacher was like, this guy's going to mess up the class.
I did, right? This is a problem. I could have like a very positive influence, but also a very negative influence, you know.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, so, to build a very good company culture, I think it starts with, you know, defining the core values of what you want. What does your company stand for, right? So what are the core values? Is that, you know, formal is a very super formal, is that informal, or is that a combination of both? What kind of way of working, what kind of ethics, what kind of values, what's your customer service, like all those values, what you stand for, those words, we have big quotes in on the wall in the office with all those words, you know, like mm-hmm. that you could see, like, okay, what's the code of conduct, right, of the business. Yeah. So and we believe in that, you know, you need to give people the opportunity to grow themselves, to become an entrepreneur, you know, inside of the business, feel their way. We have books in the office, so everyone can just read whenever they want. So just during working hours, they can just whenever they want to start reading, they can just start reading. It's no problem.
Gosh, I like that. I'm gonna adopt that.
Yeah, that's really
good. If you don't mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. That works very well.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
We got like a green zone, and yeah, we got just everything. We do a lot of things. So we do a lot of team things and team bonding things, or like the different teams do that, you know, remote. And we're just having, you know, lots of fun also in the chat groups. And I think that's also one of the success factors. Is to, you know, not having those chats, you know, those group chats, super formal, you know.
Mm, I see.
Because that's going to take away that personal connection.
Right.
The personal connection in your business, to have like both professional as well as the personal connection with everyone is very important. And we are just like, you know, joking around in those group chats, you know, joking around, sending, you know, the HR sends, you know, a motivational quote every morning. We're just having a laugh. We're just joking around with each other. You know, they joke with us. We, like everyone. And that's also like very Dutch, is that in the Netherlands, you don't have a hierarchical structure, right? So we're very egalitarian. So like very equal, like everyone is equal. Like the CEO can just go with someone who cleans up like that, and they can have lunch. That's super normal. There's no levels.
There's no ego.
Yeah, it's like everyone is the same. So we apply that as well. So everyone is just with everyone. There's no status. There's no like you're the boss or you're this,
that's
you're
so
that,
cool.
You know, and no managers. You know, we're really having like an autonomous organization. Like if you're managing yourself, we're training them to manage themselves, become very autonomous, and not having to have someone to have to tell you all the damn things that you have to do every day. That's a problem.
That's so interesting that you bring that up, because it seems like that's a big issue in other places. I don't want to like stereotype and say, you know, American companies, but there's a lot of micromanaging complaints.
Of course, it takes away the freedom. And it also takes away the possibilities of growing yourself and learning those things.
And the autonomy that you should feel when you are diving into your work.
Exactly. Yeah. We're even like endorsing that like big time. So, or like we're even fighting against like asking too many questions and expecting us to do the things for them, or preparing it. Prepare it yourself. Do it yourself. You know, take ownership of what you're doing, what you have to do. Because then they're also going to be ideate, you know, they're going to get better ideas, they're going to innovate, they're going to do things in a different way. So we have a very different company structure and way of working. And I believe in that everyone has a very big potential, every single one. You just have to find it and you just have to ignite the fire. And that's what we focus on heavily, to do that and not have that micromanagement and all that nonsense. You know, like, but really having everyone manage themselves, you know, and then you really get a strong team. You know, that's,
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Thanks. It works out well until now, like, so that's great.
Right. But, have you ever had to let anyone go?
Yeah, a lot. Lots of times. Oh my gosh. And that's also what you have to learn, you know, how to find good people. And that also, like, and that was something I was... like some people have such a negative impact, like a single person.
One person can just,
And that amazed me a lot, you know, that I learned that, you know, during this time, because before these years, and you know, I never hired people. I didn't even know how to do that.
Right.
But I learned a lot about like hiring and firing people, and you know, firing people is never fun. So to avoid that, you need to improve your reviewing process and your filters.
Yeah, your criteria.
Your criteria and how you do that, how you set up, how you find the right persons. So you don't have to do that. But yeah, sometimes you have to. But I also had like moments that I had fired someone and that all of a sudden it completely changed really, really well in the organization, because it has it had such a negative vibe or energy or impact on the rest of it.
Yeah.
I wasn't even aware of how big that impact would be, you know, like that was, it was crazy. So sometimes you have to do that in order to, you know, make it better for the rest, you know, because it's really like an anchor that, that everyone is.
Yes, it holds everyone back.
It holds everyone back, yeah.
But so it's human nature is just so amazing that one person can have so much power over that group of people.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And that's with the positive and negative influence, right? Mm-hmm. Same as how you, as a leader, you can have a very positive influence and you can make people very well, good, but also very negative, and even in the organization itself. And that's very important to understand, especially if you want to create a fantastic company culture, or if you want to reorganize your company, you also have to understand that everyone needs to come, and everyone that everyone wants to adopt and apply that new way of working. That's a problem. If some people don't like it, and they're gonna retaliate, you know, and that's bad, you know,
because
then all the other people can also not do it.
I can only imagine for a company like yours that's constantly innovating and changing. If you don't have people that have that mindset that can adapt and continue to change along with the company, it can be a big problem.
It can be a big problem, and that's why every growth phase is also in life, you know, you're losing a lot of friends as well if you're growing, because you're going to be different, and that's the same inside of your organization.
It's so interesting that you said that.
Because
and we hear that a lot from a lot of entrepreneurs that come on the podcast, that it gets lonely. Do you find that yourself, that it feels lonely at times?
No, I don't feel lonely, to be honest.
No.
But I think most entrepreneurs, they're having the business by themselves, you know, so they're like the sole owner of the business.
Right.
And I don't have a single business that I'm, you know, all by myself.
You're able to find the right partner.
I'm able to always find the right partner. Yeah.
It must be.
Seems hard, easy. Yeah, that I find the right people.
Right. Yeah. Because. But you have a skill, though.
Yeah.
You're able to read people quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, and understand what kind of person it is, and what that person, you know, can do, and also what his, like, potential is.
Are you able to know right away if someone's a right fit just by having a simple conversation with them?
Most of the times I am, because
that is so cool.
Like, you know, for example, the guy who I have the software business with, you know, it was like only we drank coffee for like two to three times. And then we flew together to India and set up the company over there and set up the company in the Netherlands. It was just only three, cups of coffee.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, and that's, you know, I always say like devil's in the detail, you know, so you have to look at the details, you know, because your success leaves clues, but also not success. And if people are not, you know, if you can't trust people or if they're different, you know, you can just find that in the details, you know, because you can't hide details.
Yeah.
And if the details are not correct, and you can find during the details, like, for example, like, you know, Muhammad Ali also has that wonderful saying, like, if someone is rude to the waiter, you know, you would not do, you know, any business with him, because if he would be in the same position, he would have, you know, treated him the same way.
Right.
So you can find that in the details, like how are people, you know, talking about other people to you.
Right.
That's also how they're going to talk about you, you know.
Right.
And that's the whole thing. So I learned to quickly analyze, like, hear, like, the indirect things that people say, you know, reading through the lines, what people say and what they actually mean. And so you can hear what kind of person it is, if you understand what I mean, right? So that's what I learned, taught myself, you know, during my life. I don't know why, but...
It's a great skill to have. It's the best skill, I would say.
Yeah.
Because that saves you a lot of heartache.
Yeah,
I mean, if I knew right away if somebody was a good fit or not, can you imagine?
Yeah. And I also made a lot of mistakes with people that I work with. You know, I had a lot of things that didn't went very successful. But lonely? No, I've never been there. I don't feel lonely. At this moment, I don't feel lonely. I felt lonely in my life, of course, but nowadays I'm, you know, with so many people, I never feel lonely. No.
That's incredible. What would you say to someone their first step should be diving into business on their own?
Yeah.
What do you think their first step should be?
Yeah. So first, really make a well thought decision of if you actually want to do it, you know. And you have to understand that it's not all sunshine and rainbows, you know.
Right.
It's not, and that's what people believe if they're looking at those Instagram models and influencers and hashtag entrepreneurs, and they're only showing like you the good sides, you know. But and most of the things is not true, or it's rented, or it's this, or it's that. You know, it's super fake. So if you're going to take that as your like example, and then, you know, you see that and it feels for you like they're always living that life and it was always like that, you're going to have the wrong expectations,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be disappointed. So you're going to stop very, very fast. You know, people start a business very fast nowadays. They also stop very fast because they have the wrong expectations.
Right.
And if you're not going to be able to understand that, and that you're not going to be able to enjoy the process of failure, you know, and, you know, going down and having difficult times.
That's, you know. I feel like we need to quote you on that. Enjoy the process of failure.
That is
so important.
Yeah.
Because it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
So you said it, you got to learn to enjoy it.
Yeah, you know.
And come out on the other side.
Yeah, because falling down happens, you know, staying down is a choice. Yes. You know, and you have to stand up. And that's what happens, because you're going to fall a lot, because it's like, you know, learning how to walk again.
Right.
Maybe even like learning how to walk on like 1 foot and, you know, with 200 kilos in your hands, or, you know, like that's how entrepreneurship is. And you have to learn the process, and you have to enjoy it, you know, if things are, you know, go wrong, because the bigger your business will become, like the bigger the problems and the more complex the issues. Right. And as an entrepreneur, you're just basically a professional problem solver. That's it.
Right. And I think going back to what you said in the beginning, knowing your why.
Yeah.
It really is what pushes you through.
Yeah.
Understanding why you're doing this in the first place.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times it's tough. It's hard. And it's all sunshine, like you said.
Yeah. And it's that fire, you know, and it's that fire, right. You know, your why is your fire. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, and all those down, all those failures and everything that's going to happen, it's like every time, you know, there's going to go water on it. And if it's going to be out, you know, like, and you have no fire anymore. So the stronger that fire is, the more chance you're going to have to stay in business and to continue. Because I believe if you're just going to continue to proceed and not going to give up, eventually you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
Just never give up. Just continue to go.
Right.
And maybe it takes a couple of years, maybe it only takes a couple of weeks, or maybe it takes 10 or 20 or 30 years. If you're just not going to give up and continue to improve yourself, it's going to happen one day.
It's going to work.
Yeah. And maybe even harder, you know, because some people, you know, they go by, you know, by walking. Some people, yeah, like in terms of success, how fast it goes, some people go walking, some people have the car, and some people, they go in a rocket, you know.
Yeah.
So the rocket takes a little time. So the guy who walks can directly go. The guy who goes with the car, he's going to be a little faster. The guy in the rocket, maybe he's busy for, you know, preparing and launching the rocket. But eventually, if he's going to launch the rocket, he's going to go much, much faster than the guy in the car and the other one. So, you know, don't measure yourself to the people that walk or the people that go with the car, you know, like focus on yourself and don't think like, oh, that guy was successful in like 6 months and that guy was successful in 2 years or whatever, because it's all different, you know, like you can't compare things to each other, you know, like that's Yeah, so don't, you know, focus on yourself, and you have to do that fight with yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to
mind compete your own business. With yourself.
Mind your
literally,
own business.
Mind your own business.
mind your own business. Exactly. Yeah. Mind your own business and focus and compete with yourself, you know.
Yeah. And speaking of success, how do you define success for yourself?
I define a successful people not in terms of how much money he has. Absolutely not, because I don't think that's mm-hmm. It's just a, you know, way of exchanging things in order to buy things. But I believe success for me personally, you're a successful person, you know, man or woman, if you're going to be successful on all levels, right? And I'm talking about like wealth, health, relationships, you know, for example, dancing, whatever, like all the things that you can be good at, right? That you have multiple things. So not only like, okay, that guy has a lot of money, right. But he's fat, you know? Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you're not successful.
Or he has no friends.
Yeah. You know, you have no relationships, or you're in a divorce or whatever, right? So you have to have all facets, then you're successful, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I try to always like improve myself on so many different levels, you know, relations, health. You know, I know a lot about nutrition. I know a lot about, you know, fitness. You know, I work out 5 times a week, but also like, you know, how to create happiness. You know, I think, you know, especially for, you know, Cuban, you know, I love Cuban salsa as well. You know, yeah. I'm a dancer. You know, why? Also because I see how much joy people can get from that, you know? So all right. those things, if you're able to do all those things and combine that, that's how I measure success.
So you know how to dance Cuban salsa?
I know how to dance Cuban salsa.
Do you know that? Well, you don't know, but I don't know how to dance Cuban. Oh. Can you believe that?
I can't believe that, no.
I don't know how.
You have to do it.
I can pretend to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I can hang on for 3 minutes, but that is it. I cannot. Yeah. No, I don't know how to do it.
You have to do it. It's amazing. I think, you know, I brought my friend, you know, he's a business guy as well. You know, he has his own business called Medmasky. It's a skincare. Maybe you know it. It's quite big in the United States. And I brought him like 2 days ago. We went to Little Havana. We went mm-hmm. to a salsa dance place. And he said like, whoa, this is amazing. I love this. You know, just to see it because the happiness, people are not coming there. You know, people don't come there just to get seen and, right. you know, show off. People come there for happiness. And that's what right. I like about that. And that's why I think, you know, that's also part of your success. You know, if you have that too. And also if you're healthy, and also if you're, you know, like, so not only having a lot of right. money, because I don't feel like I'd rather have, you know, less money and be more healthy, or, you know, be, a, you know, being able to have more time yeah. to spend on dancing or whatever, right? Than to yeah. have, you
have
know,
finding a balance. Money.
Yeah. Finding a balance. And yeah. Finding a balance and just, you know, excel in every facet of life. You know,
yeah.
and especially things that matter to you, you know, but there are a couple of things that are just very important for everyone, and it's relationships
right.
because that's just human nature. Your health is just very important, and wealth. Yeah. You know, you basically need money because that's the way how people buy things yeah. and how people exchange things, you know, like, so yeah, it's very important to have all those facets, and that's how I measure success, and also how I measure successful people that yes. are successful.
Same. Yeah. I agree with that so much. There's so much that you said in there yeah. that people are going to be able to take away from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are your mentors?
My mentors. Yeah, that's a great question. I had a mentor like when I was 20 years old. That was the first moment that I, you know, had like a mentor.
Yeah.
At 21. It was a very interesting guy. It was Peter Luyks, the Dutch guy, but he mm-hmm. also lived, you know, a very long time in the US. He basically went to every place in the world. You know, he knew every place. So he could tell me all those stories. I was so
blind. So he's a legitimate mentor.
Yeah, he was. Wow. Yeah, it was a legitimate, like, really, yeah, it was a CEO of big organizations for 10,000 people, and he would give me all those life lessons, you know, during a coffee, you know, and I could never be late, you know, because it was always like time, you know, like you could be like military time, you know, and
not Cuban time.
No, exactly. No, that was not allowed, you know, military time, you right. know, like So I learned so much from him, and that's also how I was like, whoa, you know, true mentorships can change the whole way you look at the world. And
for sure.
You know, all those, you know, moments that I went to him, like maybe it's like 20, 30, 40, 50 times, I don't know, in total, I've learned so much of it. It's like unbelievable compared to like the normal school or whatever. Like, it's impossible to learn that. And that's what I admire about, like, you know, having a good mentor. So that was my mentor, basically. And on all other fields, that was my own mentor. I just looked up on it was not like a direct mentor, but it was just educating myself. And I see books as mentors as well. So I feel like if I'm reading a book, I feel like they're mentoring my,
right.
You know, it feels like they're telling me a story, like, do this, do that. Okay.
Right.
Try it, apply it and see what happens, you know? So I feel like all the books that I read, it's a lot, you know, those are my mentors. You know?
Were you always a big reader?
I hated reading.
Really?
I hated it.
What? School, so you know? What changed?
Because like, I didn't, also same thing. It's like, why do I have to read? And I was like I don't like fiction books. Well, because I didn't like, why do I have to read this? And at school, you know, right. We had Dutch class.
That's a valid question. Yeah. Why do I have to read this?
Why do I have to read it? And at school, I was obligated, you know, I was in the last, the last year that I was there, you know, I was obligated to read 10 books. And it had to be like, you know, fictional books or something like that, you know, like, stupid books, like so that was my feeling, you know, that books were those were the books. I didn't even know that there were books that you could learn so much information about business,
right, that or could really have an impact on you.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, you know, I'm fairy tales and, you know, all kinds of like stories. I understand that people like it, you know, because it's some sort of movie, but I don't, you know, I feel right. Like it's not, it's wasting my time, you know. So it's not feeling for me that it's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, I'm a big fan. I hated it because I had to do it, and I don't like it if you know,
right.
You know that the school obligated me to, you know, read at least 10 books. So, but then I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago, a friend came to me and he gave me a book. He said, like, yeah, you have to read this book. It was a book of Tony Robbins, I think. Yeah, a book of Tony Robbins. He gave me a book of Tony Robbins. I was reading the book and I was like, whoa. Is this what I can learn from books, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and then it changed completely. I got so super addicted to it.
And there moment of my life. And now you're like a voracious reader.
Yeah, I was like, every day I was, you know, there was a time that I was reading one book a day, you know? Like one book a day. It was really, really a lot.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. It's just my thing, you know? So
what's your favorite, like if you could have only one book in your possession, which one would it be?
And yeah, that's a really, really,
or if
really
you could only question. Reread or read one book for, you know, the rest of your life. A little bit dramatic, but which book would you? You know how Leonardo da Vinci had the Mona Lisa all the time.
Yeah. Like
which would be your Mona Lisa?
I think that would maybe be a super hard question. I think that would be The Laws of Success from Napoleon Hill. I think it would be that one. Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is a really difficult question.
I'm sorry.
My brain is exploding now. No, it's like,
thankfully it's only hypothetical. No, it will never happen in real life.
Or How to Win Friends and Influence People. That would be like one that I think like,
that's okay, one of my top ones as well.
Yeah. But it also depends on, like, because all the books tell you a different thing, mm-hmm. and they learn you something on a different, mindset or personal development or, you know, becoming like wealthy, you know, you have different, you know, things. And for all the books, I have my favorites, you know, right. Like.
So tell me some of your favorites.
I think I like the most books of Joe Dispenza. I don't know if you're familiar with him, Joe Dispenza.
Yes.
You Are the Placebo is a very good one. It's like really amazing.
That one I'm not familiar with, but I can't recall the title. There's one that I haven't read it yet. Mm-hmm. It's on my list, but it's from him.
Yeah. Or Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself is also
I think that's book. It. Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah.
And that's a really good one. Yeah. All his books are basically good. If you want to become more motivated, like Grant Cardone's books, he's also from Miami. You probably know right. Grant. You know, 10X is really good. You know, Be Obsessed or Be Average. Yeah. psychology of money is also a very good one to understand more about money, you know.
Right.
Yeah, there's so many, like every time I'm just looking at the books, I'm like, oh yeah, this one or that one, like I got so many books. Yeah, I just I love them all, you know, because they all gave you, you know, a certain life lesson. They give
you something. Yeah. Do you like Robert Greene's books?
Robert Greene's books, yeah.
I like him a lot. 48
Laws of Power, yeah, so they seem
standard. Oh yeah, I have one here. I have
48 Laws of Power, right?
Yes, those are, and I have some others at home. The Art of Seduction.
Yeah, Art of Seduction. Yeah. Mastery.
Yes. Yeah. I forget the title. It's the one that's all black.
Yeah.
Yes, he's... Yeah. It's either launched or is about to launch.
Yeah, I need to get my hands on it. Yeah, but yeah, there's definitely Robert Greene's books are very good. Yeah, super good books.
He's awesome. Yeah. And now more recently, Jordan Peterson's
books. Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules for Life. Yeah, also very good. I like him a lot also to listen to him.
Yeah, his lectures are incredible.
Very strong. He's just very strong. With
Can you imagine him verbally. on your app on your
that would be fantastic, you know. Yeah,
he would be so effective.
You would book a call with him, isn't
it? Oh my goodness, all day. I would be he'd be like on speed dial,
right?
Yeah.
Now, how cool is that? And that's how most people are, like, imagine that. And that's there's no right. rich and there's not something for them to be able to like have calls, because they would love to have them, but they don't want to share any contact info, you know, personal information.
Right, of course.
They have all the problems with, like, time wise, for example. Mm-hmm. We solved all, or, you know, ask for money. So we solved everything with the Mentor Calls app, because they can say, like, okay, I want to be, you know, available, for example, for the next hour.
Right.
They can go live, you know, and say, like, okay, I'm live now for one-on-one video calls. Set like, okay, 10 minutes.
It is one-on-one.
It's always one on one. Yeah, because we believe in direct.
Yeah.
You know, not groups, not two on one, because you're losing focus already.
Yeah.
You need to have quality time. Right,
you can't hone in on what that person needs.
Like we're sitting over here, and if there's someone else sitting here, like,
you're going to all of a sudden violence. your attention has to be divided.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're not completely focusing, right. And especially in a mentorship, it's very important that you have the exact, you know, because it's not a lot of time. You have to truly understand. That's why also in school systems, it works better to have smaller classes.
For sure.
Why? Because there's more attention, and even like private lessons, even much better. You can learn so much more, because the full That's attention so true. Is on you.
And 10 minutes doesn't sound like a long time, but one-on-one,
it's a
10
lot.
10 minutes put to use efficiently.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's quite generous.
You can ask a lot of questions. You can
do a lot in 10 minutes.
You can ask. Yeah. You can ask a lot. We even did 2-minute calls. You can ask 10 questions.
That is so cool.
10 questions. But you have to come prepared. And that's what we believe in as well. Time efficiency.
And I like that too, because then the person coming, seeking the mentorship already comes with the mindset of effectiveness.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I want to get out of this call. Yeah. And objectivity.
Exactly. So they're also going to understand, like, hey, what's time? Time is very important. Be wise. Right. Be value your time.
I mean, it's the only thing we can't buy. No matter how rich you are, you can't buy time.
Exactly. So that's what we believe in. It's
the top currency, you know?
Yeah, it's the top currency. Yeah. And that's also, like, for example, if the call is 5 minutes, it stops after 5 minutes instant.
That's it. No. Yeah.
There's no, like, extra second, because at the end of the call, it makes a selfie with you and the person as well. Oh, so if you're going to have a call with Jordan Peterson, you have a call, you know, a photo, and you can directly share that.
Right.
And the mentor, as a mentor, you get, you know, connected to the next call directly.
Right.
So everything goes automatic.
So let's say I'm a writer and I'm looking for a mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be available through?
Yeah, that's a whole idea. Calls? Yeah, just like writer.
So literally any profession.
Any profession is what we want to, that's what we aim for. Yeah, so that's the one-stop answer shop for all your questions. If it's like jurisdictions or legally or real estate, everything that you want to learn, that you're like, okay. You can compare it to, like, you're just driving somewhere for 3 hours, you're completely lost, your phone died. And you're like, oh man, I'm driving here and I can't find it. And there's just one guy, you know, standing across the street, and you're driving towards him. You ask him, like, hey, listen, I need to go to this place. Do you know where I find it? I'm like looking for 3 hours already. That guy tells you, oh, I'm driving that route like for every day for like the last 20 years of my life. You have to go straight, you have to go right, then you have to go to the left, and then you're there. You know, and that's the mentorships. Like, it's only like that.
And instant. You're guaranteed that this guy is credible and he knows what he's talking about.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because a lot of, you know, especially in social media, you see all these coaches and all these mentors.
All those quote unquote.
That are like, yes, I'm going to help you, but.
Yeah.
Do you really know what you're talking about?
Exactly.
I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah.
You know.
And most of them don't. So we verify everyone. So it's also not that someone can take your name. So they can also have no identity fraud. So even like, for example, if a Jordan Peterson would like come on the app, first we'll have like a review call with them, with him, to see if he is actually him, you know, and not like, oh, scan your ID. No, we're having a one-on-one video call.
So it really is him. Yeah, it's not really a hologram.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then we'll accept him. And then we also know like that person is that person. So it's very important. We think that's also very important. And also the quality. So the quality of the mentors.
Yeah.
And we're going to filter that and have like very comprehensive quality filters eventually.
Right.
To make it better and better and better. So that once you have a question about, for example, taxes or crypto or real estate or writing, whatever, that if you're going to book a call on the app, you're going to have a super high valuable call, you know, so that even if it's going to cost you a couple of $1,000, you're going to get it out of it, you know.
Right.
Return on investment.
You'll see the results. Positive.
Yeah.
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 That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Big things are coming, you know.
Yes.
So,
yes. Yeah.
It's exciting times, you know, and we'll see where it goes. And especially if it's eventually going to be the number one educational platform. So that.
I see it. It's going to happen.
Thanks.
You said it. So it's going to happen. You put it out there.
Yeah.
How can we, people listening, support what you're doing? How can we get involved?
Well, you know, we're doing a lot of, you know, like, for example, with the mentor calls, people are able to buy an NFT, which is like they become active holders as well. They can find that on mentorcalls.io.
Okay.
So if you want to find more information and find us on Twitter, you know, Mentor Calls NFT, or on Instagram or all the other social channels, find our software business if they have any questions on Crebos Online, CREBOS.online, and there they can find us and, you know, ask all their questions, and find me, you know, for some inspirational stuff on the gram. Yeah, Maurice Weber, double R, to have more information and also to follow all the things that I'm doing. Like, I recently started to post more.
Right.
Because I'm not a big fan of social media, but I have
same.
To. But yeah, it's very important.
I feel the same way. So it's
we been, have to.
Yeah, it's, but going to back to what you said a little bit ago about enjoying things that make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I've learned to enjoy, you know, the process.
Yeah.
Because I also don't.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to understand the point of it.
Like, yeah.
You get to connect with people. Yes, I do that every day. Like, I connect with whoever. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, we would have never met had it not been for.
Like, how beautiful was that, right?
So,
and that's the beauty of social media.
You know?
If you wouldn't be out there, you know, putting yourself out there, like, I wouldn't find you. And that's the beauty of it. So you can really also get a lot of positive things out of it. And that's what I believe in as well. And I don't like posting and showing off and whatever, you know. I just really use it as inspiring, you know. I want to inspire people.
Tool. Right.
And that's what I see a lot. Also in my DM, that I messages from people like, I really like the way you do things and what you're telling, and you're such a motivation. And that's really, that gives me a lot of energy. And that's the reason why I'm, you know, continuing the posts and stuff.
Right.
But
will you be posting more in English though?
That's it. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna switch more to English. Yeah, that's for sure.
Because I have to confess, I was trying to listen to the
Dutch stuff.
No, it's like, I can't understand.
What is this guy telling me? Yeah.
It sounds really important, but I don't understand any of it.
No, but that's it. Yeah. We're gonna make all those videos with English subtitles, because especially with mentor calls, it's completely international. Now, like, most of my followers are Dutch. It's also quite like maybe international, so we have to switch on it, you know. But so that's what we're gonna do. Yeah, yeah, we're gonna have like the whole marketing strategy is gonna focus, we're gonna be focused on the English,
right?
US market as well, US, Australia, UK. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
if you could have like one, people say superpower, so let's go with that one superpower. What would it be? If you can make one thing happen,
that's I would have one superpower. I think to get people to unlock people that have hidden potential, you know, so that I would be able to like, you know, get boom, and I would look at you and I would get it out of you, because then if that
I mean, you kind of have that power already,
but I'm working on it. Like, but then it would be like a real superpower, you know, to really, you know, get it done.
That's much better than mine.
What's yours?
So my answer is always like, I would understand every language in the world.
Every language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love that, because I always feel so, what's the word? Impotent when I don't understand what someone's saying and trying to communicate with me. Yeah. And I always feel like it's somehow my fault. You know what I mean? Like, I should know what you're saying, but I don't. So, but no, yours is much better,
I like yours too, because I think yours is I once read like a book, I don't know if you know the book, Seven Love Languages.
Yes, I love that book.
That's also like, I was never aware that, you know, that you also had different languages in love. That was like super
and different ways to express.
Wow, that's crazy. I was like,
do you remember yours? Did you take the little quiz?
Yeah, I'm words of affirmation. 100%.
Really?
Yeah.
100%. Okay, me too. But I'm a combo. I'm also acts of service.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I never understood, like, because I always thought like everyone would be the words of affirmation. That's why I'm like always so super hyped up. Oh, yeah, you can do this. And,
I believe in you.
I was reading that book, and I can still remember like finally I understand, because like my dad is also acts of service. So my dad is someone who is showing his love in that way. Right. And I never understood that. So sometimes I got home, and then all of a sudden, like, he was randomly in my house and he was fixing stuff, you know? And I was always like, why is my dad here fixing everything and cleaning up everything and doing whatever, right? Randomly.
Right.
You know, and then I read that book and I was like, whoa, now I finally understand.
That's how he shows that
he was showing his love in this way. He never said he loved me or whatever, but this was, he showed me truly always how much he loved me, because he was always doing those things, but I never understood it. And that was really fascinating. I learned a lot from that book. So in terms of like languages, like very, very good. Yeah.
He would also be a great mentor.
My dad.
Your dad and the author
The author, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in relationships and stuff. Yeah, me too. Like, I've forgotten too. But
we'll link it down below.
Book, it's a recommendation for everyone who wants to understand.
And it's his short book. It's very straight to the point. It's a quick read.
Yeah.
You can do it in a day.
It's amazing. Yeah. I got so many good books that I just love. Just because, you know, you always learn so many new things. It's every book has a new journey and a new thing that you're going to learn, and that's going to be so fascinating, you know, and that's, it's just beautiful, you know, like, I'm so happy that someone gave me a book and that I started reading and understanding how good and how much fun it is to read, you know.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I couldn't have ended it on a better note.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here and sharing with us. And to everybody listening or watching, thank you for spending your time with us. As we said previously, time is a top currency. So the fact that you're spending it with us
absolutely
means so much. And I can't wait to have you back and listen to the next big things that you'll be accomplishing. Because I feel like mentor calls, along with all the other things you're doing, is going to be it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And I would love to come back maybe in like, you know, next time I'm going to be here. Like, let's say 6 months from now, that would be really cool to have people like that would listen to the first episode and then see like what can happen in a short amount of time. You know, like, imagine that's going to be cool. Like, we're going to do that. Yeah, that's great. That's a good idea.
Done deal.
Yeah, cool. Fantastic.
Thank you.
Chase your tail.